Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm Lisa Zimmer. And if you've noticed, we have a few changes this year. First, I want to welcome all of you to a new year. Happy 2011. Very happy about ushering in this new year. And with the new year, I've made a few changes. First, you'll notice the show is now on Thursdays. And next month, we move the show from a half hour to an hour show. In addition, I've also let go of a borrowed name of mine that I carried around for 15 years. And so now I'm Lisa Zimmer. The Mahoney was something that I took with me and felt like it was on my back for a while. So as I was saying it over and over and over again, I needed to move that. So that's moved. Today we're going to be talking about compassionate care in health and healing and also in caretaking. My guest, who is Beth Martins, has not been able to get through on our phone lines today. So in addition to all these new wonderful changes of 2011, I'm going to be winging this show so wingingly that we'll just all have a lot of fun with it. But we are going to bring on a very special guest who is a very good friend of mine, and her name is Cindy Plume. And we too are going to be talking about compassionate care and what it's like when we are having to take care of someone who is either sick or dying or unhealthy, and the toll it takes on the caretakers themselves. And Cindy knows this firsthand, as she has such a huge heart and such a generous soul. And, of course, that nature of her has been this unconditional, compassionate one who has cared for others. And so without further ado, I am going to introduce my guest, Cindy Plume, who is taking Beth Martin's place. And Beth Martin is a wonderful musician and yoga teacher. She's also developed the Caregivers Refuge, which is a support system for those who are caretakers of loved ones who are sick or dying. And if you do want to connect with Beth Martins, you can find her at bethmartins.com. But without further ado, I'm introducing my friend Cindy Plume. Cindy, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you doing, Lisa?
You are such a little angel. I'm doing great for winging this, so thank you so much for being there for me. So talk to me a little bit. You have been in a position where you've had to take care of your mother, I believe, right?
I took care of my grandmother for over 20 years, my grandfather also for a short period of time, and my father-in-law all at the same time.
Wow. See, this speaks loads about you, because from the first moment I met Cindy, I met her at the I Can Do It convention. We were both working with Carolyn Sutherland, and we met at that point. And it was an absolute unconditional sisterly love at first sight. And we knew our hearts resonated immediately one-on-one. And I did not know the intricate details of Cindy's life until we started to get to know each other better. But as I get to know her better, it speaks loads about the kind of a person she is. She's the most compassionate, unconditional soul, that one of the few I've ever met on this planet. So what was that like, Cindy, caring for three people, all elderly, all at the same time? Probably all three different ailments as well, right?
Yes, it was tough. Although over the years, I learned different ways to make it easier. My father-in-law had Parkinson's and cancer. My grandfather had cancer, and my grandmother was just elderly with some dementia and things like that. I think it was overwhelming at first, which I'm sure a lot of caretakers, if they're listening, feel what I'm saying there, because it takes away not only from you, but from all of your family, in the sense of not being able to do the things that normally a mother or parent, a wife might do. So it takes some getting used to for everyone in your life.
And I imagine, in addition to the stress that it puts upon you, it also puts stress upon your husband, your children, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your husband. I mean, was it difficult to balance all of that? And did you find yourself, like, wanting to run into the bathroom, shut the door and scream, and maybe go, you know, throw snowballs at a tree? I mean, like, how did you cope?
What did you do? I was a bathroom crier initially. When I'd get stressed, initially I would take everything and kind of pile it together, which made what seemed like a mountain that was, you know, you couldn't get to the top. I think it affected my kids in the sense of I was not able at some point to even attend their school functions, that kind of thing. You know, all of the things that kids expect their mom to do, I wasn't able to do. Although, I have to say that while these people were living with us, because I just didn't care to take away, they lived in our home. My kids also got benefits from that other kids didn't get.
That's incredible.
Yeah, their great-grandma played games with them. They completely understood because they saw the day-to-day life of, of the caretaking, and they understood. They didn't complain. The kids didn't complain about it.
I think that comes, though, you know, knowing you, I think that comes a lot from, you know, how you have raised your kids and the communication you have with your kids, and also that understanding and compassion that they're seeing what you're doing, and you have such a link and a bond with them that they get it. And, you know, I imagine that's not always the case with many families, but when you are present within the moment and you're present as a parent as well as a caretaker, you know, you're blessed. You specifically are blessed, and we're blessed. I think that when you went through this, you went through such a transformation that you just really even came more into yourself. And you have such an unbelievable spirit and giving nature that you give, you know, sometimes more than you need to in regard to yourself. And I think that is somewhat of a quality that caretakers have. They give until they're drained. And actually, you're going to be talking also with me, with Beth Martin. She just hooked into our chat room, into our switchboard.
Oh, good.
So I want you to stay on with us, and I'm going to bring her on, and we can have a talk about this, because this is really important information for a lot of baby boomers who are taking care of elderly parents and also people who are just dealing with chronic disease and the spouses or the loved ones taking care of them. So thank you. God bless you, Cindy. Stay on with us. We're going to talk to you again. Okay, here we go. We're going to introduce now Beth Martins. We're going to bring Beth on right now. Hello, Beth.
Hi there.
Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. I'm a tiny bit confused about our time zone here, so I apologize. I'm a few minutes behind.
Oh, not a problem. We have also, I have on the line with us, Beth, is Cindy Plume, who is a friend of mine, and she's also gone through being a caretaker. So she was just telling us her experience, and she helped take care of those few minutes, so no worries.
Awesome.
But Beth, no problem. It all works. You know, however it was going to go, it was going to go. I'm trying just to go with the flow of things here. But Beth, you are an incredible spirit. And by looking at your angelic face, you would never know the courage and tenacity and strength that you have within your spirit and your being to not only overcome cancer once, but twice. Can you tell us a little bit, and we'll start with your story of having to overcome cancer, and then we'll get into your organization that you also formed, which is the Caregivers Refuge, which is an organization catering to the caretakers of those who are, unhealthy or have illness. So I guess we'll start right now. Tell us a little bit about, what it was like getting the diagnosis and what emotions and feelings you went through and then where you went from there, if you could.
Sure. Yeah, I was, at the time when I was beginning to get sick, I was working in a very high-stress line of work with my family business. I was definitely not following my soul's path, but I was definitely following a kind of tribal path. So I was fulfilling my family obligations, but definitely at the cost of my inner life. Nonetheless, I still couldn't stop my inner life from pursuing and developing and listening to those callings. It sent me to India every year, for example, for 8 years in a row. And so I was leading this double life. And slowly by slowly, you don't really notice it. Cancer being a chronic disease, it's something that sneaks up on you almost minute by minute. So I wasn't that tuned into it. And I was actually, interestingly, using my spiritual practice at the time to avoid the feelings of the knowing that I wasn't well. So totally the wrong way to use your meditation practice, I have to say. And so then on my very last trip to India, I've never been back since, I got a flu, and I never did get better. It was one of those, like, flu to end all flus. I had a great big lump in my neck, and by the time I got home, it's like, okay, this is serious. This is something. I started getting myself into the medical system, which I dreaded. It was one of the reasons I got as far along. I was a stage 4 lymphoma by the time I was diagnosed. And so that's where sort of the beginning of the end started. And I knew I was burnt out, but I didn't know how much trouble I was in. And so it was a 3-year process that did include a second diagnosis. I got into remission once and couldn't recover from the treatment. So a second time, another 18 months, and I was down again with a lot more skills as far as how to manage my health. Really incredible transformations took place during that time. I came out of it thinking it was a given that our adversities and the challenges that we face are transformative, but I've since learned that it actually is a choice that we make, that every single person will come to those points in their life and decide what to do with it, whether that's, they're gonna let it make them bitter and hard and resentful of life, or if we can turn it into some new thing that will make us deeper individuals, grow the soul, and bring us into a light that we probably didn't know even existed. And I was lucky enough to have had 10 years of meditation training behind me, and it kept pushing me to make some positive meaning out of my experience. And every time I tell this story, I feel like I have to add that I don't think meaning is inherent in any experience. It's going to be our active choice as a creative force to bring that out of it. And I think also once you decide that your mission in life is to wake up in one way or another, then we've signed over, for not so much just distracting away from our suffering, but actually digging in and going, okay, how can I use this to change my life, change my soul, actually. So that's that's the nutshell version of what I
went through. Wow, that's a complete transformation just in the realization of it. You know, that's, and then you went and you went to your family. Is that right, for their support?
Yeah, I ended up requiring a number of caregivers, and for sure, in the end, my family really showed up for me. I ended up moving out of my house, selling my house to pay medical bills, and they took me in, they took care of me, and it was my first, really intimate look at what caregiving means. I saw what they went through, the stress they experienced. As I understand, you know very well, it's, when it's your immediate loved one, your parent, your child, I guess people can walk away, but I can't imagine what it would take to do that. And, yeah, they fulfilled their duties definitely at a cost. But I think my parents have a bit of a gift in that they always knew when to take their break. You know, if I never learned anything from them, I hope I learned that. So, some months down the line, and I definitely wasn't well, didn't know if I was going to live or die, they actually cut out and went for a holiday. They took out 2 weeks and took a break. And at the time, I have to admit, definitely wasn't at peace with that. I definitely felt abandoned, although I was looked after while they were gone. But I see now how they probably wouldn't have survived the experience themselves had they not taken that time away. So I've come full circle to understand that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful gift. You know, that's a wonderful gift to watch and to know and to see, and also quite rare. You know, I'm really impressed by this this birthing that you went through in regard to looking at what you've experienced in life, what life has thrown at you, what you've overcome. I mean, it to overcome cancer once is such a heroic journey, and to overcome it twice is phenomenal. And you are such a strong soul, but you exude such lightness and such beauty. And there's not anything that, in looking or in feeling your energy, that you see any bitterness or any woe is me or victimization. And in that heart of who you are, you also developed what you have called the caregiver's refuge. And can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because it's basically for those who are taking care of others, right? It's to give them support. It's to show them how to care for themselves and take care of themselves also, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's come up about from a couple of different angles that we live in a society that is so focused on the individual, right? So we have this, down in Canada here, we have this massive healthcare system. Billions of dollars are spent every single year on people's healthcare, but it's spent on individuals, one person at a time, are the recipients of treatments that are, you know, for sure not holistic and are not getting to the roots of the problems. They are just taking one disease and addressing it as if that's going to bring about some good thing. And lo and behold, I think it's turned us into a very sick society, having, mm-hmm. Having our vision of ourselves all wrapped up in this one little life that all by itself actually adds up to nothing, right? If you look at the reality of it, we're so connected. We wouldn't make it through a single day of our life if it weren't for all of the people that contributed to, even the hardcore thing, like the people who made my house and the people who grew the food that I bought at the grocery store yesterday, and on, somebody made the clothes that are on my body, and somebody now is looking after my child, and we are in fact completely interconnected, but we act like individuals. We're in this mindset that we're actually individuals. We're all trying to get ahead in our own little way, and then I think one of the symptoms of it is that we've become a very sick society, right? So no wonder medicine comes along and just follow suit with the individuals. And then for the most part, it does not have the caregiver in the picture. You know what I mean? Like maybe individually,
yeah.
Just to give them credit. And the medical system now is starting to recognize in the idea, like, oh yeah, this is actually going to be a crisis for us because, you know, you go to the hospital now and they want to just send you home. I'm not sure what it's like in the state, but right, that's the first thing. And they want you to go home because they have no space for you. They have no resources for you. We have an aging population, so that rate of illness is actually climbing at a very high rate.
Yeah.
And then the need for caregivers is exploding.
Right.
So, again, from this individualistic perspective, we are considering the caregiver to be one person. So the husband gets sick, and you know, like the wife is the caregiver.
That's right.
And then
what else is you know jeopardized in regard to that? Because it's a very you know it's very hard on the caregiver when they feel like they have nowhere to go and they have no support and no one really cares about how they're feeling. And it's almost to the point where, well, buck up and deal with it. This is your life, and this is what you have to go through. But the compassion, when Bernie Siegel really started to incorporate compassionate care in the states here, it was an entirely alternative concept because the medical institution was basically, here is a drug, deal with it. You're going to have symptoms, you're going to have side effects, and you know, hopefully you'll get better. And there was no bedside manner. And so, you know, what you're doing, I probably am more Pollyanna in this viewpoint, but I have this view that Canada has more of a compassionate side to their health care than we do in the States here. Maybe I'll kind of live in that little fog there. But,
sure.
You know, we really don't have a lot of support coming to anyone who is a caretaker. And I know even myself when I got sick in 2004 and I had my family, my children and my husband at the time taking care of me, it was tough. And they're good kids. And it was tough. It was really tough. And I saw how they weren't equipped. They weren't able to do this. It was tough. They didn't know, you know, what day, you know, to jump and what day to sit. And and so, you know, to have support or have a foundation that actually focuses on the caretakers, I think is a beautiful concept. And we also have someone calling in here who has some insight in regard to what it's like for caretakers in a health situation, and she wants to add some important insight here. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you? Talk
Hello.
To us a little bit about what your insight is on this.
Well, so many things have been addressed, and I especially like that, you know, as a caretaker, your parents took care of themselves and left, and that feeling that you were left feeling abandoned is very interesting because probably, I'm almost 47, probably since 1985, I have been in a position to have walked through about 30 friends who passed away from HIV. Several friends, you know, that horrific time in 1985 where literally when I was living in Fort Lauderdale, almost the entire ward at Broward General was filled with people I knew on the floor, and it was literally going from room to room to just you know stare blankly in the eyes of people and wonder, you know, what's happening here, and walk through, by the way, at that point I mean, we're talking 1985, walk through the judgment that the parents who were maybe coming after not having any contact with their children for 20 years to just say goodbye to the skeletal remains of their sons. It was quite horrific. Then, Yeah, really tragic. But I will say this, except for taking away the suffering, I wouldn't change it, because the insight that I have to humanity is profound because of that experience. Cancer, specifically breast cancer, and friends and a cousin, a really dear friend of mine, Lisa, you know, my sister Mary lost one of her best friends in May. Long struggle.
Yes.
A nephew, you know, my nephew 18 years ago died a month before his second birthday from a disease called Leigh syndrome. And I have the partner in my life. We are going through a healing, he and I. He lives with a chronic terminal illness, which they call living with disease. And so that, I have literally been a caretaker either full-time or part-time to people since about 1985. And there's something I want to address. Yeah, it's very interesting. And again, you know, as a side note, I sat with my friend's mother who held the feet of her son while he died, and she looked at me and said, "I was here when he was born, and I'll hold his feet while he dies."
Oh.
It was...
Yeah, that's, you know, no parent should ever have to bury a child. I'm sorry, that's the worst human experience that I think exists, and it's something that, you know, we are such an instant fast food society. We expect our grief to be taken care of in that kind of a context as well. And it's complete bullshit, because we are a society of emotion and feeling and love and heart, and that needs to be honored. It's not, you know, it's not, okay, here's the gurney, flip them through the emergency room, and there they are, there they lie, and next. Because life isn't about, you know, how fast we come in and how fast we go out. Life is about what kind of an imprint we leave, and hopefully it's based in love and compassion and sensitivity. And all of you guys here, Cindy, Beth, Elizabeth, you're all the biggest hearts, such love, such generosity. I am so blessed that all of you have called in on this show. That 1 minute two, I was freaking out thinking, dear God, I'm going to have to wing this show. So God bless you guys. I really, this has been such a powerful half hour, and I really, really need to do this again for an hour show, and you'll all be called to be back on. So really, thank you so much. Beth, can you add any last thoughts or comments here in regard to the caretakers, caregivers refuge, or anything else you'd like to add in the next minute we have here on the air?
Yeah, I'd love to alert them to the series upon which you are going to be. It's a refuge radio series. You can hear from anywhere in the world via a connection through the internet, and my caregiversrefuge.ca is the website where you can go and sign up. And it's a resource that you can access from your own home. You don't have to leave, and it's hosting people such as yourself that have really valuable resources and either information or ways to adjust your lifestyle, ways to eat, ways to get inspired is really, for me, a huge thing that I can offer for caregivers. So there's a series of four webinars that actually lead up to a week in Mexico. So if anybody's really serious about getting their healing break, that's something that I'm offering right now. And I also have a book that I've written called The 7 Secrets of How to Avoid Caregivers Burnout. It's free to anybody who would sign up for my newsletter at thecaregiversrefuge.ca. So if you don't mind, that's what I would add to the interview. And thank you so much,
wonderful.
Lisa.
Beth, thank you so much for coming on. And we'll talk again when my show is moving to an hour next month. God bless you. You are such an angel. Thank you so much for calling in and being on the show. Everybody, thank you again. Cindy, thank you again. Elizabeth, Beth, thank you so much. All of you, God bless you. And may you have a blessed week, all of you, with expected and unexpected blessings coming your way. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unlimited Realities. I'm Lisa Zimmer. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.